It's called the March 1st Finance Committee meeting to order and move on to item two, consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency, meeting in person would prevent imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to Government Code 54953 with various subdivisions. I concur. Marty, do you concur?
I concur.
Okay. Yeah. Comments from the public. Amelia, anything at this point?
No hands, no chats.
Okay, so let's get into the hard stuff here. Finance monthly updates, general update on current finance, and I'm assuming that's Paula.
Paula's muted. I'll let her know.
Yes, thank you. I didn't realize somebody had muted me. So really quickly, let's talk about the draft audit. We should be seeing something within the next couple of weeks. I've been working with Ingrid. We finalized a lot of the last trial balance information that she was waiting on, and have some draft numbers that we're reviewing, and we should have a draft to probably the April committee for the April board for review and approval. And then moving on to the Tyler Technologies contract, we are currently beginning the initial, it's not phase one per se, it's the pre-phase one with a project manager. This runs for 8 weeks. It's basically preparing all of the data to start the development phase, and things that we're doing is kind of doing some data massaging with our vendor cleanup, our residential cleanup, those types of things, looking at our trial balance, make sure that all of our entries are in, looking at our chart of accounts, getting that prepared and ready to go. So those will be the next things that we're working on over the next 8 weeks, and then we'll start the actual phase one. Another thing that I did not include in this relating to the Tyler contract is that Friday we received two bids for our project manager RFP. So I'll be working with Amelia to go through those, do the scoring on them, and then have vendors selected to help us get through this Tyler implementation project soon. Recruitment, we're putting the AP accounting technician on hold. Primarily, we don't have the space for an employee. We have a lot of temporary desks and temporary locations, but we want to have a permanent location for this employee and make them feel at home. I don't want to shuttle somebody between the copy room and then the file room and the map room and so on and so forth. And then also, we haven't had much luck with getting qualified applicants. So that's kind of been another hold off as to, or another reason why we're holding off on this position. So hopefully when we have a recommended area for new staffing approved by the board in the future, then we'll be in a better position to fill that position. In the meantime, we do have Jennifer Yee, our accounting manager, is assisting us with getting our AP done, and we're getting our bills paid and moving forward. Also of note, I'm very excited about this. We had a spring cleaning day initiative on Friday, February 18th. This is our working Friday while we were closed to the public. Things have been go, go, go here for as long as I've been here. And what tends to happen when you are constantly on the move is things tend to sit, and we tend to set aside the least worthy of our time, which is stuff and files. And so staff in the administration office spent most of the day cleaning, and we removed files, we organized things, we got rid of items that were unneeded, unused. We're working through our records retention as well. So the March 16th board, we're going to have two lists. One list will be items that we're auctioning off. And then these are surplus items that no one within the district is interested in using or has a need for. And then we'll also have our records retention list. And so I want to say thank you to all of the administration staff. The entire team really showed up and did a ton of great work, and we had a really fun day, and thank you to all of them. So on to the more important things, utility billing water shutoff notifications. So we've been reaching out to the top 20 of our residents that have the largest outstanding past due balances. And as of late yesterday, only three residents have either entered into payment installment agreements or they have brought their accounts current. The remainder have been non-responsive. So this afternoon, we will be beginning the 10-day notification process. We want to remind everybody, we do not want to shut water off. We just want to work with the customers to make sure that, you know, they're aware they do have options, and we would like them to reach out to us directly to get either their accounts current or enter into a payment agreement so that we can help them get back on track and bring those accounts, bring those past due balances in a better place. So also attached are some pictures of the coffee room before and after and the file room before and after. As you can see, it was a huge undertaking. We had a lot of stuff and a lot of things that needed to be cleaned up. And I think our janitor service was greatly appreciative. The floors were spotless and everything was nice and dusted for us when we came in on Monday. So again, huge thank you for all the staff who took the time to take that day and take the time to go through everything and get this cleaned up a little bit better. So any questions?
No, just that I was over there yesterday and the place really looked great. I mean, I've never seen it look that good. And I've been going over there for a long, long time.
We got a lot of work to do and we got a lot of work done. So I think, you know, it's especially helpful when there's so many things going on just to get that little bit of organization back into the game and kind of minimize a little bit of the functional dysfunction.
I do have a comment, John, if you're ready for public comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Richard Gears.
Yeah, this is a question I asked at the board meeting and didn't get an answer, having to do with past due balances. I was wondering how a resident could possibly have a $45,000 past due balance.
Silence. You know, I'll answer that question. That is, it's not necessarily a resident. It's undeveloped property. It's the drainage and security fees for a particular piece of undeveloped property within the district. And that's just, that person's just not paying that bill. So if they don't catch up on their bill by the time July hits, we'll turn the debt over to the county and the county will attach it to their tax bill.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, just to be clear there, on undeveloped property, there is no water to turn off. Correct. So we're a bit more restricted in those transactions.
And you know, it's not unusual for developers to appear to use that sort of process to pay for their past due amounts. That's kind of how it's happened here in the district in a couple of occasions. So that's just the process we go through. Fortunately, we're able to put that debt onto the tax roll and eventually get the funds.
Anything further on this item? Any other hands or chats, Amelia?
No hands, no chats.
Okay, so we can move on to item 5, which is to discuss the board's strategic planning and budget workshop. Tom?
Well, that's... I'm not muted. Okay, that's for Paula to kind of talk to as far as when we want to schedule it. We have a draft that we're circulating amongst ourselves for developing what we think are the important items for the board to review. And then, of course, the board has an opportunity to sort through those items and prioritize. And that's what we do in the strategic planning and budget workshop. We're kind of keying it off of the, not kind of, we are keying it off of trying to get past the reserve report, because that's going to help us determine what our reserve rates need to be going into the next fiscal year, and primarily reserves that we put towards water and sewer. because those amounts have been going up more and more each year because of the fact that we're having to divert property taxes to supporting security. So there's not that simple way of taking property taxes and applying it to our infrastructure needs. So we have to figure out how much we want to propose to charge for reserve contributions. If you recall last year, we increased the contributions. We nearly doubled the contributions for water and sewer towards reserves. So the short answer is we're not sure, but pretty soon, and as soon as we get past the reserve report, which Michael and Paula are working on, we should be able to set a date. And as soon as we set one date, we can set the other.
Well, we have some constraints based on the budget process if we're going to do the actual budget workshop, do we not?
Yes, we have to post our proposed Prop 218 budget. I believe the date is March 31st.
Yes, that's correct.
April 1st. March 31st is when we have to propose to send out our proposed budget, our Prop 218 notice. So yeah, there's our constraint.
So then I'm assuming, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, that we're actually looking at doing this in the next couple of weeks, correct?
Yes. And okay. Then as has happened a couple of years ago, we ended up having a special board meeting just prior to the release of the Prop 218 notice. And that again is one of the major flaws of our finance systems, and the fact that we've had so much turnover over the past 5 years in finance that it makes it very difficult, and which is why we're putting a new system together with Tyler Technologies.
Okay, anything further, any questions or chats or anything, Amelia?
No chats, no hands up.
Should we move on then to item 6 to receive the mid-year budget update?
Is Paula muted again? Yes, she is.
Yeah, muted. So sorry. Yes. So this is a fairly lengthy report. Hopefully you had enough time to review it yesterday. So I'll leave it to you, both of you directors. Would you prefer me to go through each fund? Do you want to start with specific questions? How would you like this discussion to occur?
Just as a start, Paula, and I don't know if it was the early morning hours that I missed this. Is there an attachment that I know you went through? Each fund is there one that reflects a total of all of the funds, or if it's there, where I missed it?
I do have a summary, but I did not include that in there. If you want me, Amelia, if you'd like, I can share my screen, or would it be better if I email it to you really quick?
You could email it, but one of the things that I was really happy to see was the level of input and the detail that you went into that fairly well described each individual entity. The other part of that, I think, and this would be, you know, something I'd like Marty's input on as well, is I'd like something in addition to that was maybe a one-page encapsulation of exactly where we are.
Sure.
And I don't think that is something that would be limited to me. I think, you know, out in the community or people that are interested that are not prepared to go through that level of detail might want, you know, a basic snapshot based on a quarterly analysis of where we are.
And I went ahead and I emailed that to both you and Marty and Amelia as well. So Amelia, if you want, I can share my screen.
Go ahead and do that just for a minute, so we get a look at the bottom line.
Okay.
I'm the host, Paula.
Okay.
Oh, I have to unshare my screen. And now I'm not sharing anymore.
Okay. So can you see this Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got that. Yeah.
So this is a pretty rudimentary roll up, but this is the revenues versus expenditures. And down here at the bottom, this column that I'm going to highlight, this is the difference. So let's talk a little bit about the columns here.
Can you make it bigger, Paula? We're having trouble reading it.
Sure.
There you go. That's good.
So at the top, these columns, these are the revenues. And this column C, this is the adopted budget. So this is the adopted budget that also includes the capital improvement projects expenses. So this is what went to the board in June of last fiscal year for this current fiscal year. This column here, D, the amended, this is the amended budget. So this includes any changes that we've had, whether it be the $1.3 million that we've included for the capital improvement projects from the state funds. For the administration, there was an additional $160,000 included for the positions. There was another $80,000 for the project manager. I think there was some contingency fees for the Tyler project. So that's included in that for the admin, for the expenditures. And they're consistent with CIPs are included in the both revenues and expenditures. In some cases, we had some appropriations from the water and wastewater funds. And so those have been included as revenues and also as expenditures because we are pulling them from fund balance. So this is really the roll up of all of those amended. So you can see the total for the revenues here is the 11.6 million roughly. And then down in the expenditures, we have 12.5 million. So we have a deficit of $941,000. That's our current budget totals. So year-end projections show us at 1.7 million overall. And this variance column is the difference between these two amounts, the amended versus the year-end projections. So at this point right now, we're about 7% over budget and then 1% over budget with the revenues.
So as we continue to report this way, am I assuming that if we begin a year and as we go through the year, we identify and fund capital improvement projects, that we take the money out of reserves? And I see where you're including that, but isn't that in effect, that's a wash, correct? In other words, we're reducing the reserve level and we're funding the capital improvement. So it really is an over and above cancellation from the initial budget that we approved. I'm on the right page so far, correct?
Yes, correct. It is a wash. Essentially what it is we need to report the budget appropriately. And when we are reporting the budget, we're not showing the reserve contributions. We're not reporting those as part of the budget, and we should be showing those as part of the budget. Anytime you're using fund balance to when you have those appropriations, that has to be included as a revenue, because now you're adding it as a revenue from a revenue source, funding source, and then you're also expending it. So those two are a wash, but it does show the budget is a lot higher than what we had originally adopted.
So does it make sense, if looking at this Excel, and this is a pretty good start, I think, to what I was asking for when we just got into this, is it from a revenue standpoint, does it make sense to break out capital improvements from reserves as its own line item? Yes. versus applying them into each individual enterprise, if you will? Does it, it, am I making sense here?
Typically what you would see is you would see the capital improvement plan would be a separate document, but it's all included in the budget. So what you would see is that line item you would see, and I did that in the performas. If you look at the attachments that came, that were along with this report, you'll see there's a line item in the revenues and the expenses that shows you how much we've appropriated for that from reserves and then how much we're going to be expending. And that may not necessarily be what we've expended. And so those two separate line items, once we've finalized those projects, and if they came in under budget, that budget would go back to reserves. It's not the same budget.
Right.
Make sense?
Right. So in looking at it just on the surface, if I'm looking at this, I'm really not measuring the district, if you will, in its budget to actual performance. Even if I'm trying to do that, I'm not seeing an easy way to get to it just off of this top line report here. I understand completely, and I agree with the actual reporting of the capital improvements projects and the money that we take out of reserves, and I'm happy to see that in a central location. I'm just wondering if there's a way that we can take our, we can see performance against our $7 million budget, and then maybe underneath it, see actually what we added to that in terms of a total reserve allocation. And again, is that hard to do? Or is it not necessary to do? I'm trying to get to where I can take a piece of paper like this and just get an overview of where we are.
Sure. I think it would take a little bit more of massaging the data, but it's doable. And then I also wanted to note too, this this is again a draft, and Tom kindly pointed out to me that this also has our admin rolled up. So our totals are probably off. That 1.7 million is probably looks like the admin allocation. So we may not be as far off on our budget as these numbers show.
Right. And part of what's in my head here is picking up a newspaper on Tuesday with a headline that says CSD $1.7 million over budget.
Right, right.
CSD $1.7 million under budget, you know. Unexplained, it has the potential of creating a communications problem.
Correct.
Marty, what do you think?
I'm having the same problem because I don't really know. Maybe you could go through this adopted column. That includes what we actually approved for the budget plus capital improvement projects. Is that right?
That's correct.
So can I jump in for a quick second? And I hate to ask you to do this, but are you able to explain the fact that, for instance, the expenditures for admin, the amended amount of $2.3 million, that is also rolled up into water, wastewater, drainage, solid waste, and security. Are you able to just delete the admin number and have this draft spreadsheet recalculate to show where we're really at without double counting both the revenue and expenditures and admin?
I would actually have to go back and because these numbers came from the performas. So, and when I initially did this, I did all of these separate because they included the admin allocation. I just put this together really quickly right before our meeting just to kind of have these numbers on hand. So I would have to back those out individually from each the expenditure columns.
Let me ask you something here. And just so I understand what you were just saying, I'm interested in that admin number. You know, I know that we, based on a percentage of allocation, are going to back that into the enterprise funds.
Correct.
But but I'm happy to see the admin number. It's a valuable number. So, you know, again, I'm, and I understand that, you know, first of all, Marty and I have, you know, I was doing this at 6 o'clock this morning. So we haven't had a lot of time to work with this. And so far, I mean, it's good. It's good data. It just needs a little help so people like me can understand it. But maybe with starting with what we have here in front of us on the Excel sheet, maybe we can begin to massage this into something that, like I said, will give us that, what we used to call it, CBS flash number that tells us where we are at any given moment. And then based on what we see there, we can take the data that's we're going to see in a few minutes, I suspect, and begin to ask more detailed questions. Am I making any sense?
John, you're making perfect sense, because this is the same discussion we had about 3 years ago when we were first trying to make Great Plains work for us correctly.
Right.
And basically what you see here is you see admin as a separate line item, and that's what we were able to do. We'd create a summary report, but we'd also create an admin report, and admin in the spreadsheet you see right now is double counted. So where you can see revenues for, you know, that admin is 7% over, but there's over 7% at the bottom in expenditures. While those numbers don't match exactly, we do, if once you pull admin out of a separate line item and allocate it, you know, as it is in the numbers below, the budget's in a lot better shape. So what I would like to do is before we publish this, because people are going to want to see this spreadsheet now, I'd like to let you know we're going to fix it to clearly define admin as a separate line item, and then the budgets for the other divisions to be reported to where the total is summarized through just the five budgets.
Right, right. And there are two pluses here. One is that what I'm looking at here, I get really to track admin as it exists in the real world. And then if you take the admin away and allocate it into the individual enterprise funds, it also gives me another snapshot, and it's particularly relevant in the discussions we've had over the last couple of years with security and why it's 35% or what, you know. But we can take this and start working with it, you know, and, you know, maybe you and Paula and I and you and Paula and Marty, if we don't want to call meetings to do this, you know, we can kind of meet individually so you can get our input as to, you know, what we're trying to get out of this, and then we can kind of mold it into something we can all work with.
Can you give me a synopsis of on the adopted line why we shouldn't be worried about 1.7? Is what's in there that should make us not worry about it?
So what that is these, so when I created this, I'll give you a little bit better background. So this really was a sheet for me to kind of look at our admin, water, wastewater. These were summaries, if you will. So if you look at them, say if you take admin here, we started with the adopted, we had the amended, these are year-end projections, this is our variance. So we're expected to come in at the end of the year at 1% over budget. Right? So not as a total. And so these water, wastewater, drainage, solid waste, and security all include the admin allocation. Because when I created this sheet, I wasn't looking at running the totals. I was looking at the lines themselves as far as where we were ending up. See, for me, the important number is wastewater is going to be 13% over budget. Security is 13% over budget, not over as a whole. So water through security, that 1.7 million, that's the admin allocation. That's what you're seeing, is the admin allocation being double counted.
Okay.
So
it really doesn't tell us much by looking at that.
No, I kind of agree with that, Marty. Just I want to say this just to make sure I'm understanding it. And you guys can tell me if I am or I'm not. When I'm looking here, for example, on expenditures where Paula has the bar across the admin number, technically the true number is taking that line 15 completely out of there. And then what you just said, Paula, is everything else is an actual based on the inclusion of the admin, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, all right. So I guess then what we have to do is talk amongst ourselves and figure out all these numbers are good. We just need to put them in a way that we're happy with them and we can all understand them. But I'm not discounting the fact that I know the horrendous amount of work that went into getting this together. And the detail is really good when we get into that. And I guess we're going to do that shortly. There's some stuff in there that's coming out that I have some questions on.
So you're saying that admin is double counted, but some expenditures for admin remain in admin, do they not?
They do not. They are allocated out to the remainder of the funds.
Oh, so, okay. So the... Okay.
So, yeah, I come from a different world. We did, you know, we never did it this way. But I get it. So if Travis buys a pencil, or you buy a pencil and you give it to Travis, then Travis pays for the pencil, correct?
Essentially.
Essentially, okay, right.
7% of the pencil, and then it's split out amongst the other funds.
Right, okay. All right.
Ultimately, Marty, just for your knowledge, the reason why we have the admin allocation is because admin supports all of the functions of the district. And so really, we play a supportive role. So anything that we do is in support of the services that the district provides. So there's specific allocations that were created. Tom, you may know when this report was done. I think it was 2019 or 2020 when they redid the admin allocation. And basically, it took a look at central services, which is what admin is, and what levels of support we provided to the other funds. And so that's how that split is was designated.
So if you wanted to correct that double counting, would you put zeros in row 15?
I could.
I mean, is that how you would get rid of the double counting?
Well, actually, what I would do is I would remove the admin allocation from the water fund. So,
I see. Well, I would just subtract those. But if I wanted to see the total, you would put zeros. If I didn't care about what was in there.
And so this is what you would be looking at.
Well, that makes it worse.
No,
yeah, that was it took me a while to figure that out, but yeah, that it does make it work.
Worse.
Well, yeah, it there's still a disparity in there somewhere that, you know, we're not getting, unless that's if there's an undue influence of reserve allocations where we've dumped in money from reserves. I'm not sure how that's skewing the numbers. Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'm asking Marty. I don't know the answer.
I think I'm beating a dead horse. So I'm going to wait till I see something more understandable.
So what do we do, folks?
Would you like to move on to the details of the other funds?
Yeah, we can do that, but I suppose we need to figure out, and we certainly need an accurate top line before we go to any kind of a budget meeting. So maybe we do need to have those meetings and come up with something that works for us. We couldn't take with these numbers, we couldn't take this to a budget workshop and do anything with it.
No, it's not ready. And we knew that, but it's close. And knowing the nuances of how we do the admin allocation and the need to produce both a summary and an admin report, it's just going to take a little more time. And we knew that. We knew it was kind of dicey, but at some point you have to pull the trigger and move forward and get you guys aware of what we're looking at in the form of the budget. It's definitely not way over budget in expenditures or way under budget in revenues. It's with all the reasons we are going to Tyler Technologies, we're suffering through reporting with Great Plains. And so we've almost got it put together. Paul's, you know, working the last stages of the audit and starting the budget process and producing these year-to-date budgets at the same time. So I don't think it's going to be too long, and I believe we'll be able to schedule these meetings by the time we go to the board meeting or even beforehand.
Okay. And the other part of this is, you know, there's two things going on here. Number one is if your confidence level is increasing that what we're looking at here are correct numbers, then we can reformat the numbers so they make sense. You know, if we're working with good data, it's just a formatting issue or an allocation issue of moving one number into another number. That's all we really need to work out.
I want to go back and I really want to stress this. I put this together 5 minutes before this meeting.
Oh, so okay.
This was very rudimentary. This was really mostly for me to have that information handy to look at the adopted amended year-end projections and the variances for each separate fund, not specifically for the discussion of putting together a summary sheet. You know, obviously that's going to take a lot more time and a lot more effort and a lot more analysis to put that together. So I really want to make that clear because I feel like we're spending a lot of time focusing on these numbers when these really aren't the numbers that we should be discussing. We need to be discussing each individual fund.
Right. And I get that. And that will be when we get to a budget workshop. I mean, the place we start there and I'll hypothetically security is, you know, it's not so much getting into the weeds at the beginning of the conversation. It's understanding that we're spending $2 million or we're not spending $2 million or, right. I mean, so we got to start at the top and work backwards. So this will help do that. But okay, let's go to the detail. Unless Marty, you got anything else?
No, let's go.
Okay.
Amelia, do you want me to stop sharing?
I wouldn't.
Are you going? Yeah, there you go.
And I think. And do you want to make me the host again,
Paula? Well, yeah, so we can bring up the attachments if you have them.
There you go. You should be able to see my screen now.
Got it. We're there.
And then if she makes me the host, I can mute everybody. Not that I will.
My apologies. How am I making you the host?
Oh, just hover over my name and it'll say more, where it says more.
There we go.
Oh, hold on.
Thank you.
Back on page 7 for those of us joining in at home, tuning in from your TVs at home.
Okay, so overall, let's talk about the administration fund. I'm going to take these through as they are recorded in this staff report. Right now, we are coming in a little bit less than budget. Expenditures are about $12 less than budget. The revenues indicate we're going to end above the level by about $55,000. You know, obviously we have property tax that is our main source of revenue for admin. The remainder of those dollars will be offset through the admin allocation to the other unrestricted fund balance for the other funds. So one of the things that, again, taken into account is the capital improvement projects allocations that are included in both the revenues and expenses. We have, let's see, so let's talk about the revenues. Sorry, I'm jumping around here. We had the $799 projected total annual revenue. We've reached about 53% of that. We're on track to exceed those budget expectations. Just a little bit of information for the viewers. Property taxes are 85% of our annual administration fund revenues. Right now, we've received about 45% of that as of December 31st. They only come in two payments throughout the fiscal year, so we should be receiving another payment, I believe, at the end of March or beginning of April. Other revenues that we receive are just title transfer fees. Basically, it's due to the ebb and flow of property transfership. These really are very nominal. Interest income is not a large amount as well. And then you'll see that throughout all of the other funds as well. And it looks like we have done 50% of the budgeted transfers. This is something else that we're going to have to look towards the end of the fiscal year. Once we get closer to the end of the year, we're going to have to look at our subsidies for both drainage and security. Drainage and security funds, we need to evaluate a little bit more for cost containment strategies. We don't want to spend more property tax money subsidizing the funds, but unfortunately, security especially, is having some budgeting issues, and we've had higher expenses than anticipated. So we may end up having to offset additional expenses with that property tax subsidy. For the expenditures for administration fund, we're pretty close to our budgeted levels. Currently, our salary was at 44% of budget. We're projected to close the year about 9% below due to salary savings of unfilled positions. One of those positions is that AP technician position that we budgeted for, but we are probably not going to fill for the next couple of months. This total amount is about $87,000 roughly. There may be additional salary savings depending on, we have other things going on with, we have a retired annuitant who may be running her hours. So that might be an additional salary savings that we would show. Moving on to the water fund. Does anybody have any questions on the administration fund before I move on to water?
No.
No hands.
Okay. So high level overview of the water fund. We're actually projected to bring this fund in at a little bit over $200,000 surplus. Revenues will be approximately $138,000 less than budget. Other projected total balances of the expenditures is coming in pretty close to what we have budgeted. We do expect that surplus of $210,000. We would have about 4% higher than budgeted, but overall we're doing okay. We do have budget adjustments in this fund. We approved expenditure appropriations of of an increase of $825,000. So we went from $2.9 million presented in the adopted budget to the $3.73 million. This includes the CIPs for the SB 170 funding for those two capital improvement projects, and then other smaller CIPs that we've taken to the board over the last few months to include additional funds needed to cover the cost of the projects. So for our revenues, we have 47% of the projected annual revenue budget. We're looking at $1.2 million that has come in as of December 31st for residential water. Commercial water revenues totaled $221,000, which is actually 17% higher than anticipated. So we are looking at these numbers. We should be trending around 50% for both of them. So we're looking at where these anomalies are, and if we are, if we have a better understanding of these numbers moving forward, we'll be bringing this, the findings in future reports. Other revenues come from inspection installation fees, contract revenues. As of December 31st, the debt is totaling $93,939, which is 50% of the budgeted transfers. As you can see, there's another graph of the breakdown of all of our revenues. Expenditures were close to or below budgeted levels. Salary and benefits came in at 58% of budget, and we're projected to close the year around 104% of the current budget. We have full staff in the water fund, and so a lot of that is due to the overtime costs. We have maintenance and repairs is also trending higher than anticipated. We're at 70% of budget due to emergency repairs. The higher fire hydrant replacement and other repairs for other critical operational repairs have come into play with those numbers. We are monitoring these expenses to ensure that we won't come in over budget, but overall the water fund looks to be in really good shape.
Can I ask a question there, Paula?
Absolutely.
And this is probably for Tom. Is there any input from the Department of Water Resources or from the state on what's going to happen if we don't get any rain? I mean, one of the major constraints on water revenue would be, I know Sacramento City's already gone to an odd even watering cycle. And if we get saddled with one of those, do we have any idea what the potential impact on revenues might be?
Well, the water use revenues is it's our largest revenue source, and it's larger than property taxes. And I spoke with Michael earlier to take a look at some of the things we've done relative to the drought work. When we do scheduling watering days and other potential measures that we take. Because I know the district has gone down this road before. And so when we do that, I'll look and see what kind of projections they had in reductions in water use. Clearly, if people cut their water use by 10%, you know, that'll be a revenue deduction of probably $150,000 to $225,000. And that'll have an impact, definitely. As we go to do the budget, do we want to, focus the revenue that we get from water based upon the per connection rate versus the per gallon rate? It's something we might have to look at this year. We just have a little bit of time to make that decision. As far as what's going on with water projections right now, the biggest news we're hearing out of the state water agency stuff is that the drought is technically not over, that, you know, we got lucky with some of the early storms to fill all the reservoirs. In fact, Michael will tell you that our reservoirs are currently full, and we're trying to get permission to put in our batter boards earlier than normal, just to make sure we get them as full as possible and keep them that way as long as possible. So to answer your question, there's quite a bit of stuff going along around in amongst the water boards, and I have that to report out to the next board meeting. I'll have a discussion on the drought and on conservation, and give the board a chance to start having this discussion in public about what we want to do and what we've done in the past, and just start the educational campaign, because, you know, right now we probably don't have an issue. If there's a drought next year, we do. So that's not a complete answer. That's what's going on.
It's also relevant because it may not become an issue of whether we do or we don't have the water supply to support it. It may be irrelevant because the state may, on a statewide basis, just mandate some new per capita number, or, you know, some program that we will have to follow along whether we have the water or not.
Yes, and the state is up to that. They're, you know, in the past they've talked about per capita per gallon per capita, and the numbers they've thrown out there are really low. And so we were part of a consortium of people reviewing a unified response from the Regional Water Authority to the State Water Board regarding the level of cutbacks that they're proposing, and without considering the fact that throughout, well, at least in our district, people are naturally conserving because of the awareness of the drought and going to drip irrigation instead of watering so much turf, you know, doing drip to plant. So the district itself has been reducing their water use already. And that's one of the main themes that the Regional Water Authority was pressing to the state when they were discussing an appeal to the letter, to the plans of the state that are going on right now. And again, I'll have more to report that at the board meeting in 2 weeks.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Back to you, Paula.
Okay, so we'll move on to wastewater. So as it stands right now, wastewater, just high level overview, wastewater is around 1 million. And through the first 6 months, we're expected to end the year 1% below budget. We did have some budget adjustments in this year. As you can see, they're outlined with the specific CIPs. We did have an increase to the adopted budget due to the SB 170 funding as well. So we're also looking at some cost containment strategies. We will be reporting additional findings for a third quarter report. I think it would be timely to do it in May, albeit other things going on, notwithstanding. So we have revenues of $1,065,474 as of December 31st. Right now, this is 32% of our projected annual revenue. This also includes the SB 170 funding. A lot of these drivers with the state funding is that we need to spend the money in order to receive the money, and we haven't spent any money and we haven't received any money. So part of the revenue that you're not seeing is because we haven't spent anything yet to receive the revenue. So these numbers might be a little bit skewed in that sense. We should be meeting budget expectations for our revenues. And then moving on to our expenditures, we have, thank you. We came in about 29% of total budget spent for maintenance repairs. We are projected to close the year about 13% higher due to deferred maintenance costs. Again, we're also monitoring actual expenditures to report any adjustments for future quarterly reports. Something to note is that the expenditures are projected to be about $383,000 more than the budget. So one of the things that we're looking at is the allocations, looking to make sure that our expenses are being appropriately coded. There's a lot of things that go into what we do, and a lot of our processes are manual. And so there's a lot of analysis that we still have to undertake to make sure that we're coding things correctly, we're doing the allocations correctly within each fund, and so on and so forth. And so that's another thing that, you know, I just want the committee members to be aware of, is that there's a lot of manual manipulation that goes into our budget. And so some of these numbers, I have questions on myself. And so I do have my staff working, doing some deep dives to make sure that we are doing our correct allocations for all of these funds, and wastewater or sewer for the expenditures is one of them. Moving forward to drainage. So we have a reduction of expenditures. Looks like we're going to have a projected balance of $7,623. We totaled $118,723 throughout the first 6 months. We're expected to come in 2% below budget. This is primarily due to a reduction in the allocations. Salaries and benefits allocations are skewed again and will be corrected. We are looking at this one as well. We have our revenues, totaling about $157,000, which includes the first installment of the property tax subsidy, which is the 50% of what the administration fund sends to the drainage fund. It looks like we are going to end the year with our revenues slightly below the budgeted level and our expenditures would be slightly higher. Overall, the fund is in really good shape, but there are some things that we need to review as far as how we're categorizing our expenses and our allocations. So to move through to the revenues, our year to date are 55% of the projected total annual revenue. This is consistent with prior years. The drainage fund was on par with budget expectations, and we should come in slightly lower than budgeted. Again, this administration fund subsidizes the drainage funds to ensure that this fund is whole, and that subsidy has already been transferred to the 50% mark. We will continue to evaluate this fund. So at the end of the year, if we determine that we need additional funds, we'll be back with the board for an appropriation adjustment recommendation to offset the extra expenditures. So for expenditures, it looks like we're going to close out the year with a slight surplus of $6,263. Again, if things change, there is deferred maintenance costs, other expenses that are unanticipated, we would certainly revisit the drainage allocation, property tax allocation from the administration fund with the board. Any questions on drainage before I move on to solid waste? Okay. So solid waste, we're definitely trending higher than anticipated. We do have a projected deficit. There are several reasons for this deficit. The one primarily being the cost of Cal Waste contract was higher than what we had originally budgeted for. There, I believe the Sac County landfill costs have increased as well. So we're looking at higher than anticipated expenditures primarily due to those two reasons. There is a potential Cal Waste contract negotiation coming up, and we don't have any details on that, but that might also impact the solid waste fund as well. So that's also something to be aware of. Overall, for the revenues, solid waste is administered as a pass-through. So we are a franchisee through Cal Waste, and they charge us, and subsequently we charge our ratepayers. So right now, our year-to-date receipts are about 48% of what our annual revenue budget is. This is also consistent with prior years. We are expected to meet budget expectations by the end of the fiscal year. Expenditures is where we'll run into some issues. Again, we have increased costs associated with the Cal Waste contracts and the Sacramento County landfill increased costs, but we're only projected to come in approximately 6% over budget. We may need an additional appropriation from unrestricted fund balance to cover the deficit. However, there may be some cost containment strategies that we might employ in order to reduce that and bring the fund whole at the end of the fiscal year. Any comments before I move to security?
Well, we're going to get into this contract in the next item, are we not, Tom?
Yeah, I'm currently waiting to receive their proposal for changing the franchise agreement to address the organics.
Yeah. Okay.
And they've been promising me a proposed franchise agreement for about 3 weeks now. So they know we need it. They know a lot of their customers need it. I hope that answers your question, because I have a question for Paula. Did I answer your question, John?
Yeah. No problem.
Paula, how much of that money is from unpaid bills? Because everybody has a trash can. I mean,
I didn't do the portion, the percentage of that, but it's a small percentage.
What's the cost containment you were talking about?
Go Who are you asking?
This is Martin. You were talking, you said there's potential for cost containment. What is that?
Yeah, so basically we have some expenditures that are associated with this and that we charge directly to drainage. And one of those things is to look at the, all of the expenditures that we're charging directly to drainage to determine the validity of those and whether or not those need to be coded somewhere else.
I thought you were talking about solid waste cost containment.
Solid waste cost. We are working with Cal Waste on cost containment. Unfortunately, the cost is what it is. We're basically bound by their costs that they pass on to us so that we essentially pass on to the residents. So, but we are working with them on that.
So there's no potential to get money or have less expenditures this year, right? Is there? I wouldn't think so.
No, and what Paul is saying is we're just, as we're going through all these accounting transactions, we're finding that we need to recode certain things. And that's something that there's just so many transactions. It's such a difficult system to work with.
Okay. So
that's what she's referring to. And as far as containment, you're right. I mean, it is what it is. They bill us for all the trash cans that are out there and all the services they provide, and that we pass that through to the customers.
Okay.
Okay, so moving on to security. So revenues and expenditures are a little bit higher than anticipated. We do have the variance of the 13%. We did not do correct invoicing of security special tax for the first 6 months, but we have corrected that. I believe we will be correcting that on this utility bill that's being sent out. However, we still expect lower than anticipated revenues, down about $10,000 from the original budget. I believe portion of this is due in part to the non-payment of bills, and we do hope to bring that up to 100% of budget by the end of the school year. We have higher than anticipated expenditures, and I want to talk a little bit about this. This is primarily due to the increase in the admin allocation. So admin allocation, because we added those additional appropriations, those costs get allocated out to the different funds. And we had an additional amount of $129,548 as of mid-year, which would be allocated directly to security. And security also has spent a lot of time with their salaries and contracts with ABA, training staff, covering shortages. We have a lot of overtime due to missed shifts, short-staffed, you know, things of that nature. And Kelly could probably speak to it a little bit better than I can. But a lot of it has to do with having the lack of staffing and ABA covering the costs of that. And so we spend a lot of time covering shifts, and that increases the overtime costs. So the two things that make up that $320,000 deficit of the security fund is those, it's primarily those two things. You know, we're not spending any more than we should be. We're not, you know, outrageously expending dollars just to spend them. This is primarily the staffing issue and the administration allocation. So through the second quarter, security revenues totaled $1 billion. This is consistent with the projected annual revenue. You know, again, we will be coming in slightly under budget. Hopefully if people will bring their accounts current, then we'll probably come in 100% of budget. We do have other revenues, that is late fees and penalties. Those have been significantly increased. We also have title transfers and other additional miscellaneous income. So the revenue and expenditure activity as of December 31st, it indicates that we will have that, we have a deficit of $353,832. That is the overall deficit that this fund will have. So if we talk about, if you want to skip through the budget adjustments and go to the revenues, We're looking at the 98%, and this graph will break down where the majority of our revenues come from, which is the residential sales. And the reserve for the capital improvement aren't technically revenues. They are included as revenues because we do receive them as that, but they go directly into a reserve account. And so they're not technically counted as part of the revenues that are spendable. So for expenditures, we're at 48% of budgeted levels. Our contract expenditures are at 55% of the budget. The reason why we're closing in around 11% higher, and this is an increase of about $98,000, primarily due to the ABA contract. We have, again, a lot of use with ABA. They are covering a lot of shifts. They are covering absences. We do have overtime costs that are attributable to, we had staff absences that were lengthy. One staff member was out on leave for a lengthy period of time. So we did have an increase in costs associated with the security contract. Additionally, the admin allocation added another $130,000. So this is a significant deficit. We did look at the overall expenses and did a little bit of movement, but not much. It looks like the allocations are done for the most part correctly within the security fund, but these two, the admin allocation and the contract, is primarily driving this significant deficit. So what we need to do is monitor the fund, and if we need any additional appropriations, we'll have to bring that back in another quarterly report, more than likely in May.
Isn't another alternative is to cut services?
I would have to look at what Measure J requires us to provide services for.
Let me chime in on this real quick, Paula, because you haven't been here long enough to have answered these questions. We are able to